This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri. Thank you for joining us today here on Coffee with Zach and Russ. Hello again, and welcome you back to Coffee with Zach and Russ and Mike, as Brother Mike Bonner is here with us today. We're thankful for him being here with us. And our topic today is looking at really a song we sing so many times, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And I was thinking about this today, and another song popped in my head. Of course, many would when you think about this topic. But I think about Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. It's another one that comes to my mind, and probably one of my favorite songs. But I don't think I have a sermon based on that one. So anyway, but I mean, it goes right along what we're talking about here, about how with this idea of all the way my Savior leads me. And I want to read here Psalm 23:3-4, and I'll make a couple comments here, and then I'm going to be quiet because I don't want to talk all day. But Psalm 23:3-4 says, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When I read this section here, I'm mindful of two things, and one point from each verse, just real quick, is one, that he restores our soul there in verse 3, and in verse 4, that he is with us during the, when we were walking through that valley of the shadow of death. And one of the things I'd like to point out, now I read it somewhere from a commentator, I don't remember who it was, but he said that, you know, it's not that you're in a death, a situation when you're about to die, he says, but you're in a difficult situation. It's not the valley of death, but it's the shadow of the valley of death. So it's the idea that you are going through tremendous difficulty. And so when you think about verses 3 and 4, we are reminded here, or at least I am, and there's a lot we can unpack here, but he restores our soul. That is, he's the encourager, and he's there with us during that difficult time walking through that valley that's mentioned there in verse 4. Now I'm going to stop there and let Brother Zach pick up here as we look at this idea of all the way my Savior leads me.
You know, I really appreciate this particular topic, all the way my Savior leads me. It's actually very interesting when you shared this particular outline and the idea that we're going to do for this podcast. I actually preached this sermon last night, one very similar to it based upon this song. And so it's fresh in my memory. But, you know, one of the things that I thought about, and of course there are several passages, but I think about Psalm 119:105, because when we talk about Christ leading us, and we'll probably deal with that more through this passage, we have to understand how he does that. And of course, Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path, the idea of guiding. But also from the shepherd aspect, I can't help but think about Jesus in John 10, where he talks about not only being the true door, but the good shepherd, and he talks about the things that he's willing to do as a good shepherd as compared to what the hireling was willing to do. And you think about us, we are sheep, and we need to be led, and we have a perfect example to lead us. I mean, Peter would say in 2 Peter, I believe it is, 1 Peter, that he is the perfect example. He suffered for us as that example. And so when you think about a guide, when you think about a leader, what else do we have to ask? And you know, who else would we rather have guiding us? And, you know, we should never doubt the guidance that Christ offers. You think about what's said there in Hebrews 13, specifically verse 5, when it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How comforting is that thought? You know, the truth of the matter is, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but the truth of the matter is, you know, mankind fails in that aspect. That sometimes mankind leaves and forsakes. I used the example last night in my sermon. Just look at marriages. How many marriages fail because a man and a woman get married, and then a few years into the marriage, either the man or the woman forsakes the other person and leaves? Well, with Christ, we never have to worry about that. And so much so that in verse 6, it says that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so when you think about, you know, as you mentioned, the song, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, what have I to ask beside? Well, we have the best guide. We have the best example that we can follow, and we don't have to doubt anything about that.
I appreciate those words, and I'm going to definitely just kind of piggyback off of what Brother Zach said, because Christ being our leader out through the word, and you brought that Psalm 119:105 up, perfect passage. And I believe that if we didn't start with Psalm 119:105, we didn't start in the right place. And also, when you think of his word, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, keep my word. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one that's going to be guiding you. Guiding you where? Back to the Father. And so Jesus would say, if you, in John 14, verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. Well, what type of life is that, brothers? That's the moral life, the upright life. That's the spiritual life. And so that caused me to think about two things, and then I'll give it over to Brother Earl. In Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14, and the more I study Romans 8, the more I'm seeing it's more than just Romans 8, 26. And you know, we can fuss and fight over that all we want to, but there's more about Romans chapter 8, especially verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not for the flesh to live according to the flesh, meaning carnal minded, according to the way we desire, which is opposite of what God says. But he says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, now this is where a good Bible lesson is in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1 and 2. What does it mean to walk according to the Spirit? To walk according to the Spirit's law, the law of the Spirit, which is the what? 1 Corinthians 9, 20 and 21, the law of Christ. That goes, how does our Savior lead us to through the law of Christ? And then he says, for as many, but if by the Spirit you are, if you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led, all the way my Savior leads me, led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How do I know that the Savior is leading me? I know that because I am following him. I'm following his word. And then in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Drop down to verse number 18. Notice what the Bible here tells us. Here it says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Well, if we stop and think about this, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? This is the way that I see it, verse 22 and 23. You'll see the fruit of it. You'll see the results of walking according to the Spirit's teaching, the Spirit's law. And so this is not out of bounds for no one. If a person wants to be led by Jesus Christ, they have to be led by the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6, verse 17.
You know, and with you saying that, I think of 1 John 2 in verse 3, that tells us there, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. You know, how do we know today? You know, there's some who not trying to get off on this topic just a whole lot, who have a real trouble with assurance. Well, how do we know that we're in Christ, like Brother Bonner was saying, like Zach has already said as well, by looking at some of these things that we're talking about? It's because we keep his commandments. You know, if we don't keep his commandments, we can't say honestly and truly we are in Christ. And he tells us there in 1 John 2 and verse 3, now by this we know that we know him, if, and there's the condition, if we keep his commandments. And we go back here to, you know, I was thinking about this as we talk about how this idea of all the way my Savior leads me, in this first phrase, if you had the psalm book, I don't have it here, but I have this written down. The first phrase there says, what have I to ask beside? You know, sometimes people doubt Christ, but at the same time, they show no faithfulness to him. And it's interesting to me, those who many times, not all the times, because sometimes people doubt just because their faith is weak and they should know better. But there are those who doubt Christ many times or doubt the power of prayer. And I actually talked about this last night when I talked about prayer. You know, if we are going to pray, that doesn't remove our own responsibility. You know, if we're going to pray for the ability to provide for our families, we have to be willing to go out and get a job. If we're going to pray for, you know, the wellness of our families, we're going to have to also do things to take care of ourselves, including going to the doctor and things such as that, using common sense. You know, the Lord in his great design gave mankind common sense, but sometimes we want to lay back and say, well, why isn't God doing anything for me? And we shouldn't act that way, but we do. But I want us also to focus here. If you look at, Luke chapter 1, verse 79, I want to notice some similarities here. Because the next phrase in that song says, who through life has been my guide. And that's the latter part of verse 1 of that song, all the way my Savior leads me. I'm not going to bother trying to find the song number because everybody's song book is different. But he says, who through life has been my guide. Look at Luke 1, 79 says, to give light, and this is a reference to Christ, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so his purpose is to do what? Lead them out of darkness and out of the shadow of death. Well, where else do we read about the shadow of death? Well, you go back to Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the what? The shadow of death. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. If we want God with us, we have to do what? We have to first know him. We do that by obeying the gospel. And then what? We as we go back to 1 John 2, verse 3, we keep his commandments. And as a result of doing those things, what's going to happen? He's going to lead us out of darkness, lead us out of the shadow of death, and lead us, as he says there in verse 4 of Psalm 23, he's going to be there with me. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why? Because he puts his faith in God. And now we think about all the way my Savior leads me, that idea. We can't honestly say that if we're not all the way following the Savior. You know, there is no hope of God, of us allowing God to guide us through his word, like Brother Mike was saying a moment ago, and like we've said throughout this and many other times as well. We cannot honestly say God is leading us if we're not the one willing to follow him. You can only be led if you're willing to follow. So I'm going to stop there and let Brother Zach add anything he'd like.
You know, you bring up a good point that we cannot be led unless we're willing to follow. But I would add to that, we cannot be led unless we're willing to follow for the right reasons. You know, something that I've always found interesting as you study John chapter number 6 specifically. As John chapter number 6 opens up there in verse number 2, what do we read about? We read about a great multitude follow him. But notice why they followed him. They saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And so here Jesus is healing them. And so they are willing to follow him because of what they are benefiting from it. Matter of fact, you continue to read on down through that chapter. And of course, then Jesus there is going to feed the 5,000. If you remember, during the night, he would get in the ship and he would leave, but he would leave his apostles there. And the crowd wakes up the next day and they see that Jesus is gone. They don't understand where he went. And so they eventually get in a ship and they go to the other side and they find him. But do you remember what Jesus said in verse number 26? He answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, because you did eat the loaves and you were filled. And then he's going to go on to tell them that they need to labor for proper things. And so we have to be willing to, we have to be willing to follow, but we have to be willing to follow Jesus for the right reasons. We have to be willing to stay faithful to Christ, even when it's maybe not the popular thing to do, even when it may not be the politically correct thing to do, even when it's not the easy thing to do. Because you stay in the context of John chapter 6, which has always amazed me, because it starts with this great multitude that's following, and you get down to the end of the chapter in verse number 65, And then there were those that weren't going to be with him. Verse number 65, it says, and he said, therefore I said unto you that no man come unto me except it were given in him of my Father. And then verse 66, from that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And so this chapter starts with a great multitude following Christ. But by the time you get to the end of it, there's a small number. And so we have to understand that when we're talking about all the way my Savior leads me, I have to be willing, one, to follow, but I need to follow him for the correct reasons. Because someone could be following Christ, but if they're following for the incorrect reasons, they're really not following him.
When I considered what our dear Russell was saying, he went to Luke chapter 1, 79, and I was thinking, man, where did I see that? And it made me think about Matthew chapter 4. And the context of Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through verse number 17, don't have time to read that, but we have a prophecy being fulfilled there. And the prophecy that is being fulfilled is Jesus Christ coming and shedding light to the Gentiles. All the way my Savior leads me here. God didn't leave the Gentiles out. Guess what? As gospel teachers and preachers, we don't leave no one out when it comes to the gospel.
Right.
We want everyone to follow. And so then when you go back to Isaiah 42, which is a fulfillment of what Russell brought out, and then looking at the Matthew chapter 4 account, and you look at Isaiah 42 and verse number 6 through verse number 9, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. This was going to be Jesus bringing revelation, brethren. And so God is not going to be leading man haphazardly or without some structure. He's going to lead us through Jesus. And more specifically in the context, the Gentiles was going to have something to hold fast to, just like the Jews did. They had the law codified, Ten Commandments, and all of the laws connected to the law of Moses. Now the Gentiles were going to be added to or grafted in, more scripturally said, into the covenant with God through Jesus Christ. But notice what he says in verse 7, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from prison. Jesus was going to be bringing men and women out of sin. All the way Jesus leads me, Jesus' teaching and his sacrifice leads men out of sin. But look at what he says. Those who sit in darkness from the prison house, I am the Lord. That is my name and my glory, meaning my position, my weight. I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth, and I tell you of them. That should remind us of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. How do I know that Christ is leading me? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things come new. I give God the weight in my life that he deserves. I give him the position in my life that he deserves. I give no one else that position. And I glorify him by making sure that I tell others that the light of the gospel is for all men.
Preach.
Yeah. You know, and I was thinking about this point when you're bringing those points out, and as we get to this final point for our time today,
already?
Yeah, I know. These preachers, I'll tell you, all these preachers, man, they talk a lot. But this last phrase of verse 1 of that song, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, it says here, For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. You know, I think about the numerous times you find in the book of Acts where men, and especially the apostles, were facing great difficulty, and the Bible talks about how they did things with boldness despite the things which they were facing. If you look at, for example, Acts 4 and verse 13, says, then when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and we read about how Peter and others with him were cast into prison. Upon their release, they went and met with the brethren. They prayed together. And the Bible says they were filled with boldness. And why? Because they knew the Lord was with them. Was Amen. He with them in a physical sense? No, but he told them before he ever left this earth, he says, "Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age," right? And we today have to realize that, yes, the Lord is with us. We find that through his word, he continues to guide us and how we can face anything that comes, you know, in this life. And I always am amazed when I hear people talk about how the Bible is outdated. And I just remind them, you ever heard the phrase that history repeats itself? Because it does. And the Bible is not outdated because history and mankind overall really does not change. We talk about some of the sins people do today, and I just remind them, it's just the same old sins, the different name. You know, we think about abortion. Well, we don't read the word abortion in the Bible. Were people killing their innocent young children in the Bible? Well, yeah. The God of Molech, what do you think that was? It wasn't abortion, but they were sacrificing their children, killing the innocent. It's the same thing. The proverb writer talks about those who shed innocent blood. What do you think that's right. referencing there? And we think about, you know, again, homosexuality. We think people say, well, what about transgenderism? What do you think he's talking about with those in Leviticus who dress like those who will dress in such a way to appear as a woman, and men and women who dress such a way as appear as a man? What's he talking about? He's condemning those who are not adorning themselves according to their sex, male and female. And he calls it there an abomination. And so don't tell me the Bible's outdated. And so we look here. And the point I'm getting around to the long way here is that the Bible, the book which the Lord has given us, which he has breathed out for us, is not outdated. It continues to guide us. It continues to provide all that we need. And like I've said many times before, I'm sure we all have said something similar. We don't need a new revelation. What we need is a new heart that's determined to follow God. And I'm going to stop there and let Brother Zach add anything he'd like. And that's going to be my final thing for today.
You know, you have several things that are running through my mind because of what you said. And, you know, just piggybacking off of what you said and really going along with that last point of the song, "For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." Well, I couldn't help but think about, first of all, the whole armor of God. And what's beautiful about the whole armor of God, and when, you know, people, you know, you hear the whole armor of God and people are like, well, you know, that's just something you can do for VBS or something like that. Man, it's such a study when you sit down and you go through the pieces of the whole armor of God. But you look as to why he's given the whole armor of God there in Ephesians chapter 6. And then verse number 10, he tells them, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Well, you talk about all those things that you mentioned, Russ, with, you know, homosexuality and abortion and all of those things, whatever situation that I find myself in, if I am allowing Christ to lead me, I can deal with all of those information, all of those things. You know, we said earlier that the way Christ leads is through his word. One of the things that I did when I studied the whole armor of God, you start looking at all those pieces, the loins girt about with truth. Well, what can you tie that to? The word of God. The breastplate of righteousness, what can you tie that back to? The word of God. The feet shot with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the word of God. The shield of faith, the word of God. The helmet of salvation, the word of God. The sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. How is Christ leading us? How is Christ telling us that he will help us through those situations? Through his word. You know, I was talking with a gentleman just last night, and, you know, he was asking, you know, what's one of the biggest problems that I, Zachary Hall, would think would be in the church? And I'd say, you have members of the church that are Bible illiterate. They don't know the word of God. I'll tell this story real quick, and I know we don't have time for stories, but I remember I preached a sermon out of Ezekiel chapter 37, dealt with the vision of the dry bones. And there was a lady, she had been a member of the Lord's church for years, probably longer than I've been alive. And she come up to me after that sermon. She goes, you know, I didn't know that was even in the Bible. I'm just, you know, I just think, do we not read? Do we not study our Bibles? And so, but that's how Christ is leading us. That's how Christ can get us through all these things, is through the Word. And I'll stop there.
Well, Russ said something about God being with us. And when we're led by the Word of God, then we understand that there's going to be things that's going to come from every single side. Job said, man born of woman, few days full of trouble. Job 14:1. Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, that we're hard pressed on every side. We understand that you have evil that's on every side, and it seems as if those who are not Christians are winning. Yet John would say in 1 John 4 and verse number 4, this goes to the point that Russ was making, that God is with us. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. God is with us. When it comes to salvation in Romans chapter 8, we understand that God is with us in matters of what shall we say to these things. If God be for us, who can be against us? We know for a fact that if we just hang in there, Brother Zach, Brother Russ, Brother Mike, and we just hang in there as brethren and stick together, there'll be some who are on the outside who are hard-pressed, who are being overcame with the works of the devil, who don't understand where the Word of God comes from, and they're leaning on their own wisdom and understanding. There'll be some that say, you know, I think y'all are on to something. I like your wisdom, and we're going to turn around and give God the glory. But let's all turn to Zechariah 8, and this will be my last passage. In Zechariah 8, post-captivity book, God's people going back, restoring the wall, restoring government, restoring spirituality. And in verse 23, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we heard that God is with you. So when Christ is leading us, people are going to want to hold on to our sleeve and say, hey, lead me to the promised land. Well, I'm glad you asked, because Jesus is leading me to the promised land. I'm going to lead you with me. Man, that's powerful right there, boy. I better calm down.
No, you're right, though. I mean, when people can see in us that we are being led by the Word of God, not some emotional response, not some emotionalism-based worship, but we are being led and being encouraged, and we are growing because we are following God's Word, people are going to be drawn towards that. You know, I've said before, you know, whatever we get people with is what we're going to have to keep them with. And so, you know, that's the same still today. Now, we're going to stop there today. When we come back next time, Lord willing, here on Coffee with Zach, Russ, and Mike, we'll continue our study looking at All the Way My Savior Leads Me. We thank you for joining us today. We hope you have enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting us at bywaymedia.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.